All right, good evening. Boy, it's so great to see everybody here this evening. I'm so glad that you're here at the National Day of Prayer, where we're going to seek God's face in expectation that He will come and descend upon us, empower us, revive us, and renew us as we go seek His face. I want to say just a quick word or two on logistics. There's some restrooms in the back. If at any time you need to get up and do that, you can. But now that that's out of the way, we are here today to say, Lord, what's going to happen? You will see a lot of different pastors and maybe some other people that will be up here guiding us in specific moments and focuses for our area locally and then at the state and national level. But we are going to seek God's face. So that's it. I'm done talking. You ready to go enter God's presence? Yes. Let's do it.
The freedom, the honor, and the privilege to worship you. And Father, we pray that you'll be pleased with this worship that we're about to offer. We know that you inhabit the praises of your people. And so, Father, we pray that you inhabit what's about to take place. Camp among us in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always good when God's people come together.
Amen.
And it's always good when God's people come together to pray and to give God praise. Thank you, Brother Philip. Y'all know Philip Chambers, pastor of Yellow Creek Baptist Church. Every time I'm around Brother Philip, I break the 10th commandment. He's so talented in so many different ways and areas and great ability. But I want to tell you, this brother loves the Lord. Thank you for leading us in some worship, brother. We are here tonight to praise God and to pray to God. That's why we're here. This is our National Day of Prayer. And I was so blessed. Brother Anthony Daly, pastor at Tabernacle Church on Garrettsburg Road. If you hadn't been out there, you need to go see what God's doing out there. But he had a Facebook Live post about our National Day of Prayer today. And the theme of the National Day of Prayer is love one another. What would it be like if these folks out here saw the church come together, loving each other, just doing what the Scripture says, and just being the people of God? It'd speak volumes. And so as we pray together tonight, I want you to feel comfortable to do that. Some of y'all may not know who I am, but I can tell you my name, and that 50 cents won't even get you a cup of coffee today. But I'm Cal Hampton. I'm blessed to be the pastor of this brand new church down here called Second Mile Church. And let me read some scripture, and then I'm going to lead in my segment of time of prayer. This is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory... You never know what's going to happen at Second Mile. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. I know somebody's going to shout amen just any minute. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. For above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. You hear Paul's pastoral heart as he's praying for the saints and giving praise to the Father and the Son. That's why we're here tonight. And the first group of folks that we want to pray for are our pastors. And I want to tell you, God called me into the ministry in my mid-30s. I was a deacon and Sunday school teacher. But I will tell you what, it wasn't until I stepped into the pastoral waters that I began to understand all the things that a pastor has to deal with. All day long, your pastor has to deal with tough things, tough issues, people hurting, disappointments, discouragement. Pastors are at the hospitals, they're in the nursing homes, they're in the assisted living places, they're at the ball fields, they're at the weddings, they're at the funeral. I mean, they're just what a pastor has to do from the time he gets up to the time he goes to bed is really an amazing thing. And then he's got the church to pastor. And then he also has to pastor his family. And so we need to pray for our pastors. And every church takes on the personality of their pastor. I know what you second milers are thinking right now. Oh, my goodness. But I want you, if you're a pastor here tonight, would you just stand? You're a pastor, or even let's say you're a minister on staff at a church. Would you stand? All right, keep standing. Keep standing. We appreciate you guys, and we love you all. And if about two of y'all would come over this way, just John, you and Mark, if y'all would come over this way, and we just want to surround you. Y'all, there's something about touch. When you lay your hands on someone and touch them, it speaks volumes. And so what I'd like, I know this is kind of, you know, out of the box for some of y'all, but I want all of us to get up right now and just go to these pastors, lay hands on them. Philip's going to need somebody to lay hands and pray over him. And just pray over these folks, would you? Let's just pray over them right now. That's right. Just pray for them. Pray for their families. Pray for their health. Pray for their patience. Pray for their fellowship with the Lord, that it would stay hot. Pray for their leadership as they lead and feed and bleed for their flocks. Pray for these shepherds. Father, we thank you so much for this evening of prayer. Thank you for these men and these women, my brothers and my sisters, God, as they fulfill your call upon their life. God, touch each one of them tonight in a special way. Just give them an unusual anointing tonight to carry on and to lift high the bloodstained banner of our Lord Jesus Christ as they lead their flocks in their fellowship. Oh, God, would you touch these folks tonight? Unmistakably, when they leave here tonight, these brothers and sisters would know that they've been not only with Jesus, but they've been with folks that love them and lift them up. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, while y'all are still standing, before you sit down, I wonder how many churches are represented here. There's only one church, but there's a lot of different fellowships, right? And so, just speak the name of your church. One.
River Missionary.
Dunbar Cave Baptist. Life Point. Others.
First Baptist.
Living Hope. All right. You can be seated. I want to pray for our churches too, but brothers and sisters, if we are going to reach Montgomery County with the gospel, If we're going to reach Clarksville with the good news of Jesus Christ, I don't care how on fire your church is, your church isn't going to be able to do that by yourself.
Right.
We need to all come together under the banner of Jesus Christ for the sake of the gospel and put some of these minor things to the side and focus on Jesus so that our community can come to know Christ. Don't you wish Clarksville knew King Jesus? Well, that's what's got to happen. I want to give you a little assignment. You go home tonight and read John 17. Just go home tonight and read John 17. God's desire is that we might be one.
That's right.
Even as the Father and the Son are one, that we might be one. So let's pray. Father, I pray for the church in Montgomery County tonight. God, we need you, and we need one another. Help us, Lord, to understand what it is that we have in common. It's what we have in common that brings us together tonight. Forgive us, Lord, for letting these other things divide us. Keep us apart. God, bring the church together in Montgomery County tonight so that our community, which is 86 to 90% unchurched, might come to know Christ. I thank you for what you're doing in every one of these churches, these fellowships. Lord, would you do something only you can do in these next few days and months and years? Would you save Montgomery County? Would you see fit to save Clarksville, Tennessee? Oh God, we love this place. We love this community. And we so long to see Clarksville and Montgomery County become a city and a county of hope. And that's only going to happen if Jesus is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our community. Use our churches. Use our people. Bring us together. For the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. All God's children said, amen.
Amen.
How many of you love Jesus tonight? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. I'm supposed to introduce myself. My name is Glenn Kennedy. Most people know my brothers, Kevin and Bruce Kennedy, of the Kennedy Law Firm. I'm a retired school teacher, taught 30 years in this county elementary. And so I tend to have a flavor of teaching to my ministry here. And God gave me a scripture for this tonight, in addition to the one that's posted up there, if my people which are called by my name. But this is found in Galatians 3:23 and 24. It says this: whatever you do, do it how? Heartily. That means with all your heart. As to the Lord and not unto who?
Men.
Knowing that from the Lord you're going to receive something. What will you receive? A reward. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of your inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. So this is what we're going to do tonight. I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm designated to pray for a spiritual outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to pray that, and I'm going to role model it, and then I'm going to ask you to stand and break up into little groups of twos and threes and pray, very similar to what we just did. Now, one thing that God told me to do tonight as I pray, some of you have never been familiar with this, I like to break up religious spirits hanging around. And so I'm going to begin my prayer with what's called a form of intercessory worship. It's just a simple little song, but it's prayer to God. Because I love to mess up religious spirits hanging around in a meeting. So I'm going to begin and just be aware. Oh Lord, may you cause your glorious voice to be heard. O Lord, let us hear your song in the night. May we come to the mountain of the Lord. May we see your glory and your might. May the eyes of the blind now be opened and they'll see. May the ears of the deaf now hear. May the lame man now jump and shall leap as a hart. May the tongue of the dumb now sing. For you're the mighty one of Israel. You're the mighty one of Israel. Your voice may we hear in the power of your word. You're the mighty one of Israel. May you, Lord, cause your glorious beauty to be seen. May our desert now bloom and rejoice. Let us come to the mountain of the Lord. May we partake of your glorious voice. You're the mighty one of Israel. You're the mighty one of Israel. Your voice may we hear in the power of your word. You're the mighty one of Israel. Lord, we summon, we call forth your power. We call forth your anointing. In this very hour, this urgent hour, we need you, God. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We need it for our city. We need it for our state. We need it for our country. Lord, we ask you to set the captives free. You promised in your word that Jesus would come and heal every broken heart and set every captive free. And Lord, we speak to the oppressed in this city, in this state, in this nation. And we say, let the oppressed go free. Jesus said he came, O Lord, to set the captives free. So we declare and we decree a prophetic declaration. And we say, freedom! Freedom! Freedom to every person who is bound in every bondage of sin, every addiction. We declare freedom to those who are bound in this city to an addiction to pornography, to an addiction to homosexuality, lesbianism, to an addiction to prostitution, those who are addicted to gluttony, those who are addicted to envy and jealousy, those who are addicted to gossip, fault finding, those who are addicted to alcoholism and drugs. Father, we say, may the legions of angels, warrior angels, come down in our midst. And may they do battle. And may they pull down these altars of Baal. Every package store. Every alcoholic beer joint and honky-tonk.
Yeah.
Every tobacco store. Every hidden away gay bar. Every place that is a den of iniquity. Father, raise up your intercessors, your mature anointed intercessors to do battle and to tear down those altars of Baal and to build, rebuild altars, holy altars to the Most High God through prayer, intercession, and through worship. Oh Lord, we ask that you remove the unrest in this city. Remove the divisiveness, the fault finding, the bickering. Remove in the church the spirit of lukewarmness, compromise, and self-promotion. Release the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that passes all understanding. The love of God that is beyond all human comprehension. Oh God, we ask that you would reveal to your people, even in this room tonight, that you have a limitless, undying level of love. That you want to love us outlandishly. That you want to love us extravagantly. Every moment of every hour of every day. That we would walk in the love of God. Father, teach your children how to rest in your love and how to impart degrees of that matchless, limitless, fathomless, inexpressible love to others. Father, we ask for you to reignite a Holy Ghost fire in those within the church in this region who are weary in well-doing. Those who have fainted by the wayside. They're like the man bleeding and dying on Jericho's road. Oh Lord, be the good Samaritan and pour in the oil and wine of your divine presence. Cause your people to rush to their prayer closets, to rush into their secret place of the Most High, that they might fellowship with you on a very high level, that they might enjoy your manifest presence, that they might partake of your good pleasures, that they might ascend Mount Zion and begin to sing new songs unto the Lord in the heights of Mount Zion and begin to impart revelation knowledge to others. Teach your people how to sit at the feet of Him who is an eternal flame of fire. And may we enjoy receiving fresh assignments from you, daily assignments to go out and advance the kingdom of God, to fight with our faith, and to believe God for signs and wonders and miracles to come into our midst. Father, I pray for the harvest, a gargantuan harvest of thousands upon thousands of lost souls, that they would come into the kingdom. Raise up first, God, a harvest of future harvesters. Raise them up, the reapers that will overtake the sowers, the fishers of men and the fishers of women, and the child evangelists that will go out and do battle. Teach them how to throw out the net and gather in a multitude of fish. Father, we ask in Jesus' name, show us the way. Show us your way of doing the business of the Father. Give us your heart and let us walk in the light of your precious grace, the grace that is greater than all our sin. In Jesus' all-powerful name we ask it. Amen and amen. Now I want you to stand, get into groups of twos and threes, and pray diligently, fervently, in faith, for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Praise the Lord. I need a little bit of slack. Hallelujah. My name is Anthony Daly. I'm the senior pastor at the Tabernacle Church over on 101st, and it's great to be with you. And aren't we loving the man of God, Cal, leading this church? We thank God for you tonight. He's a unifier. God's doing something through Cal. Thank you. That's good. That's good. I'm sorry. I won't mess your program up. So I want to tell you just a really quick story. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel is in Babylon. Persia has taken over. Daniel knows that God has given a word for revival and breakthrough and an ability to return to Jerusalem. And he's just confused with some of the outplay of how it's going to work out. So he starts to pray. He starts praying and he starts praying and he starts praying. Pretty soon 21 days have taken place and an angel shows up to Daniel. And the angel says something really powerful. He said, I heard you the first day you started praying. But when I came to bring understanding, I was withstood by a prince called the Prince of Persia, a principality. Check this out. When Daniel began to pray, the heavens began to war. Come on, prayer is not thinking about something. It's actually saying something and contending. I want to tell you, when we pray, something in the heavens starts to shift. Daniel's praying 21 days. He don't even know warfare's taking place. But aren't you and I glad we have the story that when we lift up our voice, we cause something to be stirred in the heavens. And check this out. In the earth, the kingdom of Persia was ruling. But in the heavens, the Prince of Persia was established. And when the Prince of Persia fell in the spirit, the kingdom of Persia fell in the earth. Prayer contends in the heavens and it shifts things in our community. And if we'll pray and cry out to God, He'll hear us when we pray and He'll answer us according to His will and purpose. Is that okay? Because 90%, that's what Cal said, 80 to 90% of the people are lost in our city. Lost in our city. That has to become unacceptable. Just a bit back, I've been like a missionary. I'm a missionary at heart. I've been all over the world, like every continent except Antarctica. Planted churches, preaching in streets, driving, all that. And one day I come back to my city and I thought, Lord, why don't I feel about my city like I feel about the kids in Africa or the kids in India or the people of Jerusalem? Why don't I feel the same? And I realized that I lived in a routine and a habit that kept me isolated from the real crisis that's going on in our city. I travel from one destination to the next. I have the stores I go to and all that landscape. And I realized I wasn't seeing the crisis that is really taking place in our city. So I started riding the city bus. And when I started riding city bus, I tell you, the city don't look the same from the bus as it does from my truck. Are you hearing me? And my heart in this season is that God would send revival in such a way that He would turn the hearts of our fathers. Amen. That we wouldn't be content in the church just to sing our songs and go back to our life, but we would contend in the heavens for our sons and daughters to be saved. Are you with me tonight? Amen. We're going to pray and believe God. Amen. For our sons and daughters. Our assignment is to pray for the lost. Let's pray for that. Amen. I don't want you listening to me. I want you praying. Amen. Do you know somebody that needs Jesus? I bet most of us in this room know more people that are lost than we do that are saved. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I'm coming tonight, God, and I'm repenting, God, for being timid, God, for not paying attention, Lord. You said to pray that there would be laborers released in the harvest field because the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And God, we're coming tonight saying, sign us up, God. Start right here in this place at Second Mile, God. And Lord, send us to the highways and the hedges. And Lord, I'm praying this, that there would be a baptism of your Holy Spirit that would sweep our heart. Lord, you said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes into our life to be a witness, God, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm praying, fan back into flame our spiritual zeal, our spiritual gifting, God, and let courage and confidence fall upon the body of Christ in this season, God, that we can't walk by those that are in darkness and claim to have light without stopping and shining on them, God, the love of Christ Jesus through the gospel of His cross, Father God. I pray, quicken us in this season. You said, unless Zion travails, sons and daughters will not be born. God, I'm praying a spirit of weeping and crying would come to the prayer closets of your people, God, until Christ be formed in the lives of those that are in this region that don't know you, God. Lord, I'm saying, rend the heavens and come down to Clarksville, Tennessee in this season and let revival sweep out of our church doors into our streets of our city, God, and over taking the broken, the lost, the bruised, and the ostracized, God. Turn the backslider back to the house of God and let there be rejoicing, God, in Walmart, in Publix, in the mall, God, at the gas pump, God. Let a spirit of prophecy come in this place, I pray, God, where we'll begin to declare that the Lord is Lord and besides Him, there is none other, God. I pray, God, break off the driveway mentality and the worldly ambitions, God, and let us start living with an eternal perspective in mind, God. Let us be driven with the full understanding and persuasion that one day that eastern sky is going to split and you're coming back to get yours, God. Let Clarksville be that revival center, God, whose sons and daughters are not lost but are watchful and waiting for the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Turn the hearts of our fathers back to our children. And the hearts of our children back to our fathers and mothers, God. Touch our homes. Let men of God be heard, not cheering sports programs, but in the prayer closet, weeping and crying and worshiping your name, God. Let the inheritance that we leave, God, not be bank accounts and properties and buildings, but it be a treasure in heaven that when crisis comes, our sons and daughters know where to go to the throne of God and receive their help in their time of need. This is our prayer tonight. This is our hope, God. I pray over every church, Father. I rebuke barren altars, God. Amen. I bind a barren altar, God. I declare the altar of the Lord will not be barren in the season, but it will be saturated with the tears of the repentance. It will have the noise of laughter for those that are healed and set free, God. You said if you would be lifted up, you would draw all men unto yourself. God, we lift you up in this place and we say there's none like you. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are Jehovah Sitkanu. You're the Lord our banner. You're the Lord our peace. And beside you, Lord, there is none other, God. We call you the Alpha. We call you the Omega. We call you the beginning and the end and everything that we need. We call you I Am. We love you, Lord. And we praise you in this place. Let me challenge you to just jump to your feet really quick if you don't mind. And I want you to just get close to somebody and just give them a name of somebody that needs Jesus that you know. What we're going to do, we're going to pray specifically by names. Listen, the mental health crisis that our community is in, we need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. The drug addiction we need a breakthrough. It's no longer the poor in our community. It's touching everybody in our families. Let's pray. I want you to pray for somebody specifically. Father, I come to you tonight on behalf of Brian, God. And I'm asking you to send somebody to Brian's life, Father, right now. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to send somebody to George's life right now. Little Jimmy, God, I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over him and Tammy right now. And I'm asking you to save them. I'm asking you to save Rick and Debbie, God, right now. Touch their marriage, God. Set their hearts on fire for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm pleading the blood over Tommy, over Stevie, over Donna, over Patty. God, Lord, I'm asking you, God, save them, God. Don't let them leave this world lost, Lord, but send somebody, God, that can love them where they're at and lead them where they need to go, God. I'm praying right now, God, touch Anthony and Karen, God. Touch Mark, touch Cheryl, God. Touch Doris, God. Touch Sherry, God. Lord, send revival to Ricky, God. Lord, I'm asking you, save Jamie, God. I'm pleading the blood of Jesus over Jamie right now, God. Don't let him die lost, God, but send a laborer into his life, God, that he may be saved, Lord. Save my family, God. Save our friends, Lord. Save the strangers on the streets of this city, God. Be mighty to save. Jesus, you said you came to seek to save that which is lost. God, be mighty to save in this season, I pray. And give courage to a body. Provoke us out of our apathy. Move us, God, from conformity, God, and let a fire of your Holy Spirit be set in our hearts and let a river out of our belly run through this region, God, and touch the lives of those here in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm John Franklin, and I'm the minister of prayer at First Baptist Clarksville. We're going to pray for our city in a second. And if we pray, it is motivated by the belief that God hears and God responds. And the best way that we know that is when we're right with Him and then we're praying for exactly what He said He wants to do. Let me read to you from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter, in verse 7. This is not man giving good advice. This is God. Seek the shalom of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace. That word shalom in Hebrew does not have an exact English equivalent. It means the totality of welfare, everything that builds and blesses a person or a family or a city or whatever group that it is. That peace of God touches every aspect. And God is saying, pray for the welfare, the well-being of the city, because however the city goes, that's how you're going to go. And one of the amazing things that whenever God wants to bless a city, there's been a lot of people crying out. You just heard Pastor Anthony Daly crying out to God and others before him leading us. Do you know what is a common denominator throughout Scripture whenever God wants to bless a people? He gives them godly leadership. In our city, God is giving us leadership that loves God.
Yeah.
And in our city in particular, Joe Pitts has been recently elected to that position, and Joe is very active in his church. And he wanted to be here tonight, but he and all the city council members meet on the first Thursday of the month. And as we speak, they are in meeting. So he was not able to be here present, but his wife Cindy is here. And I don't know. Hey, Cindy. And are any other people who are city leaders here, or is everybody involved in the meeting? Raise your hand if you're an employee of the city or work for the city. Okay, so but she's here representing the city.
That's right.
How about that? I think we can say that for a lot of us, Cal. But we want to pray for the leadership of this area. You see behind me that scrolling the various leaders here of our city. And, of course, there's other employees that aren't named there. But I want us to reach out to the city and the officials and to follow God's command, to pray to the Lord for the peace of the city. And so would you right now just turn to somebody beside you, and those who are around Cindy right here, I know those who are close, can you come over here and maybe put your hands, not everybody can do this, but some of you, place your hands over there on Cindy, and those of you where you are, turn to another person or two, and let's cry out to God for the peace of the city right now. Let's lift up our voices to the Lord.
I'll tell you when to close.
I know many of you are still calling out to the Lord right now. We are so blessed to be honored by God with such good leadership. And there's other ways that He builds us. And in a moment, Mark Benton from LifePoint is going to come and lead us for our county officials. But before he does that, I want us to also consider our military. In Isaiah chapter 3, the passage reveals God is going to bring judgment on the whole nation. And do you remember how I said whenever God is going to bless a person or a people or a church, He gives it leadership? And the converse is true. Whenever He's bringing judgment, He begins to remove it. And in this context, God is telling what He's going to remove. And it's not the judgment I want us to focus on as much as it is the list of people, because this lets you know the kind of people that are present in a nation when God wants to bless it. And so here's what He says. The Lord of hosts, takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah everything that makes it strong. The stock and the store, the whole supply of bread, the whole supply of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet. He's taking away the judiciary. He's taking away the religious leaders. He's taking away the military, the elder, the counselors, the skillful artisan. Isn't that interesting? Those who build great things. But of this list, I want us to focus on the reverse and the positive of that and pray for the military. We are particularly uniquely stationed here with Fort Campbell. And this is something that we ought to be incredibly mindful of, are the soldiers and their families that suffer and pay an incredible price in deployments. And so we want to be mindful. And you see there, let's go ahead and put up that next slide. And you're going to see on the next slide, it is the major military leaders of the United States. We have the commander of Fort Campbell that will be there, and the head of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guards, and, of course, the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And so I want you to pray for our military, the soldiers, the families. And let's join me together in prayer as we lift them up now. Father, Lord God, we understand that You, when You come upon a people and a nation and strengthen it, You give it businessmen in certain areas. You give it leadership that knows what to do, and you give it a military to protect and defend it. And Lord, right now we come to you in particular, and we want to pray for the leaders of our nation. We know that a nation does not succeed by its own wisdom, that a horse is a vain hope for anyone to trust in. We understand these men are incredibly wise and capable, but they are actually nothing without your empowering. So we pray for them, Father. We pray for Brian Winsky, who's the leader of Fort Campbell. We pray for the soldiers there and their families and the children that may not know their father or their mother on deployment. They'll be separated. And Father, would you bring healing? Would you empower your people to reach out in ministry to help these men and these women who are in service? Father, your spirit can do great things. We do not pray tonight because we're supposed to on the National Day of Prayer. We do not pray tonight because it's a good thing to do. We pray tonight because it's the only thing we can do in desperation, recognizing that if you don't do it, it will not be done. Minister powerfully, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you. You have given us the warrant to be able to come into your presence and to cry out to you. And so, Father, we are entering the throne room boldly to present our request before you in confidence. In confidence that we're going to see you respond. So, Father, thank you. Lord, we're not worthy to have the least of your mercies. Who are we that you invite us into your presence to do what you already have on your heart? And we're allowed to participate. So thank you for that privilege now, Father. We pray in confidence and we look to you that you would do this very thing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good evening. My name is Mark, and I get the privilege of serving over life groups at Life Point Church. Also a chaplain candidate, so I've been serving in the Army now about 8.5 years, almost 8.5 years. So thank you for that, Pastor John. I was really trying to discern what I wanted to talk to you guys about tonight, particularly regarding our leaders. And so really, I just want to share with you something I had learned just last week. I got to go to a conference, and we're just talking about our view of God. You know, some of us view God as very passionate, and then we view God with no emotion. Then we have the other side where some of us view God with a lot of emotion, but we also don't view God with any passion. And so I love the scripture that I use. Revelation 5:5 says that Jesus was referred to as the Lion of Judah. Now think about this. Lions are vicious. They're strong. They're go-getters. They're protectors. And they're defenders. Right? And some of us are lions, which is a great thing. It's a great natural strength that God has placed in you. And then you have the other side. John, we've seen John 1:29, Jesus was referred to as the Lamb of God. Think about this. Lions eat meat. Lambs eat grass. Lambs are social. They're more reserved. They're compassionate. They're very chill. Easygoing, right? I love that we serve a God who is passionate and has emotion.
Amen.
He's not just one or the other. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us as leaders? As leaders, many of you will lean towards one side or the other. Some of you guys have a lion or lioness. I see you, ladies. You have a lion / lioness side to you. You're strong. You're protectors. You're defenders. Praise God. I want to encourage you, in addition to that, let's not lead out of our strength that we just bulldoze over people. Lambs. I'm a lamb, by the way. You're compassionate. You're merciful. You're slow to anger. You're patient. You pity others. You go with the flow with them. You're flexible. At the same time, lambs, there is a time to fight. There is a time to defend. There is a time to protect. And so I want to bring this forward to you guys, leaders. Have permission and know that you have the freedom to be both. Be everything that God has called you to be. Lambs, you're naturally compassionate, you're naturally patient, at the same time, I know that God's given me that certain gift, but I'll never want to use my personality as an excuse as to why God can't do something different outside of my temperament and outside of my personality. That is what I want to pray over you guys this evening. So I know we have a few people here. If you would, is our mayor here, Mr. Durrett? There he is. Awesome. Do we also have John Fusen? Or do we have someone here like a spouse, family? That's all right. Well, I want to pray over both of you guys as well as the spouses. I think it's so easy that we forget about, we always focus on the people in the position, we forget about the spouses. John just finished praying over the military. I would not be able to do what I do without the support of my wife. And I just want to lift up also your spouse as well, sir. So at this time, if you don't mind, sir, we would have people stand around them. Do we also have any of our elected officials in here? Any of our elected officials or any of our elected judges in the room? No? That's all right. So here's what I'd like for us to do over these next couple minutes. And some of us, and Brother Philip, you can feel free to go ahead and start playing, my friend. For those who are close in this area, I want us to lift up Brother John. All right, in your own words. Okay, if you don't, not everyone has to go over there. You can stretch your hand out over. For the rest of us, go ahead and start lifting up the elected officials, elected judges. All right? I want us to go all the way up to the national level, too. We'll be looking, thinking of our president, President Trump, our vice president. The only stance I'm interested in is the stance of Jesus. Everybody needs Jesus. I've been following Jesus for 17 years. I still need Jesus. People who know Jesus and people who don't know Jesus still need Jesus. Amen? But here's what I want us to focus on. If you know someone who's a lion, pray that they are matched with the lamb. If you know someone who's a lamb, pray that they are matched with the lion. We serve a God. We just sang it earlier. Jesus is what? The lion and the... You too have that same thing. Let's be lions and lambs in the kingdom of God. And by the way, we don't do this on our own. Leaders, don't do this on your own. John, don't do this on your own. Ask God to help you. Whatever it is that you lack, trust that he will support and he will strengthen and empower you in every single way that you need to be successful, to lead and pastor the people he has graced you to lead. Amen. So at this time, you just lift up your own voice and pray over John. If you guys, those who are close, just pray over him and his family, please. Just lift up our elected officials in your own name, in your own words. Lift up our judges. Lift up our governor. Father God, we just lift up every single leader to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for a brother that's here tonight. That you just continue to watch over him and be with him, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Brother Durrett, Lord, that you would just continue to fill him, Lord, with nothing but you, Lord God. Help him, Lord, to continue to capitalize on the strengths that you have already graced him to have, Lord, and anything that he lacks, Lord, that he can turn to you, Lord, knowing, Father God, that you will fill him, Lord, with anything that he doesn't have, Lord. Thank you for that verse that says in Philippians that where we are weak, we are made strong, but that's because we submit to you, Father God, and I just pray that over him and his wife, Lord God. I lift his wife up to you, Father. I thank you, Lord God, that you have blessed him with her, Lord God, to be a helpmate that's suitable for him, Father God, that you are using her, Lord God, to uplift him and to support him and love him, Father God. I pray, Lord, you continue to bless their marriage, Father God. Continue to prosper, Lord, and that when people see you, Lord, they ultimately see the Christ that's in them, Father. We thank you for John Fusen, Lord. We thank you for our elected officials and our elected judges, Father God. Be with all of them and our county commissioners, Father God. We pray, Lord, for their families as well, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those who are lions or lioness, Father God, that you would help them and match the side of the lamb, Father God. Where there is protection, Lord, let it be balanced, Lord God, with compassion. Where there is strength, Lord God, let it be balanced, Lord God, with mercy, Lord. When there's time to fight, Lord God, help us to have discernment, Father God, when there's a time to turn the other cheek, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that we are called to be image bearers, Father God, and I just pray that over every single one of our leaders, Lord. I lift up our president, Father God. I lift up President Trump, Lord, and Vice President, Lord God, that you would just be with both of them, Father God. We pray that you would bring godly people around them, Father. Holy Holy Spirit, would you just bring discernment over them, Lord, that they would make wise decisions. Not great decisions, not smart decisions, not legal decisions, wise decisions that represent you, Father God. Put godly brothers and sisters in Christ in front of them, Lord. We pray for Nancy Pelosi, Lord God, and Mitch McConnell, Father God, and our senators, Lord God. And we lift up our governors, Lord Jesus, our governor, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, that at the end of the day, you are in control, Lord God. You know everything from beginning and end, Father God. I pray that when we find ourselves panicking, Lord, that we look straight to you, Lord God. It may be surprise to us, but you are not surprised by any of it. Help us, Father God, to get outside of our emotions, to get outside of our feelings, and always point people back to you, Lord God, to have that heart that Paul says in Ephesians 4, that we'd be one in baptism, one in spirit, one in God, one in Christ, one in the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Your prayer, Lord, is that we would not be divided. So I pray for unity, Lord God, amongst all leaders. We thank you, God, that you are a God of one. That we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of relationship. We thank you that you are a God of passion and emotion, Lord Jesus. And I just pray that every single leader here, state, national, that they would have a temperament of both, Lord. That they would know how to tap in, being the lion and the lamb, Lord God. In your name, Father God, not in ours, Father. We don't want to be leaders, Lord God, in our name. We want to be leaders in your name. So we thank you. We bless you, Lord God. And we praise you in your name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endure to all generation. Amen. We're here. I'm Willie Freeman, pastor of the Grady Missionary Baptist Church, and this is my...
Irvin Walken,
yes. From Living Hope Baptist Church, and we're here to pray for our school system. Yeah. I don't have to tell you that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that our school system is in trouble. Our schools, instead of being a learning ground, they have become combat ground. A lot of shooting and things. And the reason why I want us to pray for our schools, because it's almost graduation time. And I don't know if you notice the trend. Every time we get close to graduation, we always have a mass shooting in our school. And so we really need to pray. I was on school board for 4 years, and they asked me to run a second term, but I was so burnt out from all the rules and regulations and trying to help teachers and administrators do what they need to do. And I want to say this, that they're the most underpaid, unappreciated public servants, those who work in our school system. So they really need our prayer. And they're dropping out of school, they're leaving. They're going taking other jobs because they can't stand the pressure and all the things that's going to, sudden always changing rules and regulations from the state level, and they have to comply. So we've come tonight. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? That's first. Yeah, that God. Yeah, that's what we want to make sure that we make sure that we do that. And so I want to spend some. Let me just read a verse, pass the scripture to help us as we. And we're dealing with, in our school system, we've got atheists, we've got people who don't believe in evolution, all of those things that come against, that we're dealing with in school. But let me just read a passage of scripture that would really help us in Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 and 20. Listen to what Jesus says. And again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. It's more than two or three as in there tonight. Amen. I believe in the power of prayer. Let me just give you a little quick testimony about the power of prayer. In 1969, I was serving on my second tour in Vietnam. Just sure I popped power of prayer. And it worked for our school system. It worked for me. I was on my second tour in Vietnam, and I was full of hate. I was full of hell. And I was full of hurt. That was the kind of life that I lived, but I had people praying for me. Amen. I was in Vietnam, and I want you to know distance doesn't diminish God answering prayer. All those miles away, thousands of miles away, they were praying for me. And Brother Daly, Brother Ricky, one night in Vietnam, I was sitting there bored. Some of you may have heard my testimony. Sitting there bored, and I, as I said, I was just full of hate. And I was sitting there bored, and here I am. I'm charged with these guys in Vietnam. We were in combat zone. And we were in the parapet. I was in the artillery unit, and I asked the guys, I said, I'm bored, and I need something to read. And said, what do you want, Sarge? I said, do you got Playboy, Hustler? That's what I wanted. That's what my mind was, in the gut of life. But I'm going to tell you, God can see from the guttermost to the uttermost.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Through the power of prayer. And I'm a living witness today. That night, he said, I don't have Playboy, I don't have that, but I do have the Gideon Testament Bible. Thank God for Gideons. Yeah, thank God for Gideons. And I'm here tonight because he put that Bible in my hand, and I have not put it down since. Amen. I got saved that night in the chapel, and I told him what had happened. I had given my life to Christ. And I called home and told my wife, and she couldn't believe it, and told her mother, said, listen, he got saved. She said, I don't believe it. She said, that's what you've been praying for him to get saved. But I just want to say that because of the power of prayer, that prayer works. And so tonight, as we come to pray for our school system, that all the things that's going on in our school, what I want you to do tonight, and then Brother Mike, he's going to pray for the schools themselves and the students. But I want those of you who, do you have anybody involved with the school system, staff or anybody involved with the school system? Yes, already. Would you come up? Amen. Would you come up, please? What we're going to do tonight, what's all going on in our school tonight, I want you to come, and then I want maybe just many people that want, we're going to come stand in proxy for Mr. House and the staff, the workers, everyone. So could I have several people coming, just lock arms? We're going to come touching and agreeing. And so we just come, if y'all come and just start praying, brother, give us some false soft music, and we're just going to start praying and not close us out. We want some other people to come. Amen. Let's just come and just line up long here. Let's just start praying, okay? Pray for our school system. Amen. Others that, just pray that, pray for all of our administrators, and pray for those who take care of our grounds, the bus drivers, the guards, all of them. Pray for the staff, all those involved in our school system. Yeah, pray for those who are atheists. Pray that they will get saved. We pray, first of all, for their salvation. Pray for their safety and their frustration, that God would save them. Amen. Some go home frustrated. That we would be known as a school system. Not ashamed of God. Not ashamed to stand up and tell the world. Pray that somehow God would fix it, that we can bring prayer back into school. Take the guns out and the violence out. If two or three agree touching, God gives us that assurance. Pray that God would crown the staff and those that involved, crown their head with wisdom and knowledge. Give them boldness. And those that would violate our children, pray. Stay the hand of those that abuse and misuse our children. In the name of Jesus. I know you're able. Nothing is too hard for you. You promised you would if we just ask. And so tonight we're asking that you would move by your power and by your spirit in our school system, from the director to that person that worked out in the yard, that you would move right now. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus for those who are involved in our school system who don't know you and the pardon their sin. Save them right now in the name of Jesus. I know that you're able. Nothing is too hard for you. Crown their head with wisdom, with knowledge on high. Lord, bless our state, Lord, as they make legislation, as they make laws that be according to your word, your will, and your way. And so we thank you now, Lord. We give you praise. We pray that not one student, not anybody involved in our school system would be hurt, harmed. And so we thank you now. And Lord, we commend our whole staff, all of our administrators, we commend them in your hand right now in the name of Jesus. We love you, Lord. And we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Bless us as only you can. Oh God, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Willie, for leading us in prayer for our administrators and our educators. As was mentioned earlier, my name is Irvin Wassel. I have the privilege of serving as one of the pastors of Living Hope Baptist Church, serve as our campus pastor of our new campus, Tylertown Church, and it's a blessing to be able to be in front of you here tonight. I think of, whenever I was thinking of a verse to share, I think of what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 2. It was really this mentor-mentee relationship, and the sage, Paul, is sharing some truth with Timothy on how to lead in ministry. He says in chapter 2, in verse 1, he highlights, hey, Timothy, make sure you pray for all people. All people. And then he goes down in verse 3 and it talks about how, because us doing that, it pleases the Lord. And then in verse 4, it's powerful, it says this, because God desires for all to come to faith in him. Aren't you glad you serve a God that, isn't picky and choosy on who he wants to come to faith in him? He desires for all to come to repentance, that none should perish. And that includes the children, right? That includes the young adults. I've heard it said before, folks in my generation and younger, the kids today, they're all going down, to hell in a handbasket. Well, here's the truth. I believe that God is still able to save and change the hearts of children and young adults today, even if, the world is turning crazy. I still believe God is able. And that's what I want us to do tonight, is to pray for our schools in particular here in Clarksville, the students that are there. I know a lot of you may live, close to schools in and around. So here's what I want for us to do. If we can break up into groups of three and four, break up into clusters, and we're going to split up this prayer time for our schools and our students in two different ways. I want us first to pray for the students that are lost in these schools. As Brother Willie mentioned too, we know that sadly there's a spirit of suicide and a spirit of brokenness that's on the hearts of a lot of these kids that are in school today. We want to pray that God would remove that in his name. And we want to pray that God would save them. And then the second part's going to be us focusing on praying for the Christians that are at the school. That one, right, that they'd be bold enough to stand. Because many of them feel like Elijah did in 1 Kings 17 when, after he called down fire from heaven, Jezebel threatened to kill him, and so he ran away, and he, encounters the Lord in the, in the wind, and he says, God, hey there ain't no other prophets, here at Israel. And God said, actually, no, there's several thousand that are still, that still haven't bent the knee to Baal. And so kids need to know that there are other Christians in their corner that are willing to stand with them. So we're going to pray for their boldness as well. So why don't we split up, spend a few moments praying for the lost students that are in our school, and then we'll move on from there.
Brother Mike, just before you start praying, let's remember to pray for the family that lost their daughter and son in that car accident.
Yes, yes.
Lord, as we continue to pray around this room, Lord, God, I lift up the 36 elementary schools and the students that occupy those schools Monday through Friday, Lord. I lift up the 8 middle schools and the 7 high schools, Lord. I pray for the students that are walking across those halls, that are walking with no hope, Lord. The many that are struggling with identity issues, Lord, and God, struggling with listening to the lies of the world, that they can decide to be one gender one day and another gender the next. Lord, I pray that, God, that your spirit would move in those schools, Lord, and God, that these students, God, who are lost, that have no hope, would see that you are the answer. God, that they would see that you are the living water, Lord, that where they can find satisfaction, Lord. God, I pray that you'd break the chains of bondage, God, in the lives of many of our students here in Clarksville, Lord, and that at the end of the day, you'd be glorified. Lord, we come to you because we believe that you're still able. You're still able. God, though the world may be going down, Lord, we believe that you're still able to move and to save. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And then the second part of the prayer, if you'd stay in your same groups, let's pray that that the Christians that are in our schools would stand, that God would mobilize them to stand and be a witness, to be a light in their different schools. So spend a few moments praying for those. Lord, again, we come to you, Lord, asking that, God, you would embolden our students, God, that love you to stand for their faith. Lord, I pray that you would embolden them to be a witness. We see in Proverbs 28:1 where it says, the wicked flee when trouble pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. God, we're righteous, God, through your grace, God, and your shed blood on the cross. We've been made right with you, but now our identity is to be bold. And God, I pray that our students would see that, would realize that, they would walk in that. And Lord, that they would share their faith. Lord, God, I pray that they would choose to love that student, God, that is struggling, that is hurt, for the purpose of sharing their faith. Lord, I pray that they would step out of their comfort zones, God, and step into the lives of the many that are around them every single day, that their life is crying out of a need for a Savior. God, and I pray that us as the church, we would equip, challenge, and encourage those students to stand for their faith in their schools. God, I pray, expecting for you to do a work, Lord, excited for what you're going to do. We love you, we thank you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.
My name is Myrna Moore, and my husband Paul and I pastor his church here in town, and I have the privilege of leading us in prayer for marriage and the family. That makes sense after the kids, right? Okay. And it is 8 o'clock, so if y'all are tired, go on home. If you have anything left in you, let's press on, huh? All right. Well, good. I'm going to press on. I knew John was going to call me because actually the Lord spoke to me before he called me. And he said, whatever John asks you to do, do it. So I answered right away, didn't I? I said, okay, I'll do it. And about a week later, I had a weird experience. I don't know. I had my 50th anniversary of knowing who Jesus is on Easter. And since I'm Jewish, that's quite a deal. Anyway, and a similar thing happened. I woke up and I knew who he was, literally from sleep. Well, this day, I woke up, I actually woke myself up praying. How do you do that? I don't know if anyone else has done that. I don't know if I've ever done that. And with fervency for the family and marriage. And I woke myself up and just kept praying. And the Lord showed me something that just freaked me out when I woke up. I don't know if I was awake or asleep when I saw this. But I saw, and this is gross, okay? I saw the devil's claws ripping at the God-given institutions of marriage and the family. And we were bleeding. I mean, like arterial spurting. And I went, Lord, what is that? And what he had me to know and to see at a greater depth and with far more urgency than I ever thought of was how desperate a situation it is. It truly is an emergency. The very fabric of domestic life as God created it to be is under satanic attack. Now that's not news. We know that. But I didn't appreciate the urgency of the hour. I really didn't, but now I do, so you're going to get it. Anyway, here's the thing. And the question that's on my heart is, what are we going to do about it? Now, obviously, we're here to pray, right? Okay, so that's what we're going to do about it here tonight anyway. But we really have a choice. Our choice is to come to God in shock and dismay with hand-wringing prayers, you know, that bemoan what's going on. Or we can unite our faith and fight.
Yep. Yep.
I think that sounds better, don't you? That sounds a whole lot better to me. I want to share something before we do. You know, back in Persia, we went there a little bit tonight already, but when Ahasuerus was the king of Persia, he was deceived by Haman into passing a bad law that made the Hebrew people, you know, like open season on the Jews, go get them. He was deceived and he passed a bad law. Well, our deceived leaders have passed a few bad laws that are even ushering in Christian persecution in the United States of America. Not just against the family, not just against marriage, but it's opening a door to persecution. That's the enemy. Well, Esther, encouraged by Mordecai, knew that she had to do something about it. And at the peril of her life, she did. And you know the story. The result was, the king says, I can't repeal the law. As it is written, so it shall be, the law of the Medes and the Persians. But instead, he let Mordecai write a law in his name that said, it's okay, Jews, you can fight back. Wrote another law. I want to tell you something tonight. I want the bad laws repealed in this nation. We all do. We want the laws that say good is bad and bad is good to be repealed. But if we wait for them, we might bleed to death. We don't look to the repealing of those laws as our salvation. We are going to look to God. All right, you with me? All right, good. Because there's another law that says we can fight, and we're called to. Now, we're going to do it tonight according to an uncomfortable scripture if it's prayed right. Where are you? Can you put that 2 Chronicles 7:13 verse back up there? All right, we all know this. You can probably recite it, right? If my people who are called by my name, that would be us, will do 4 things, God will do 3 things. And this is how we're going to fight tonight. If we humble ourselves, that is like the first rung on this ladder. It doesn't do any good to do the others until you do that, if you want God to do the 3 things he promised. Humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. Now, not their wicked ways. My wicked ways. And I bet you have some too. Okay? So what we're going to do is this. We're going to go through those 4 things in prayer. And we're just going to trust God to do his 3 things. We don't have to keep after him. I mean, we can ask him, but we know he will. He will. He will. He will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins. Hallelujah. Don't you think we have enough in this nation? And he will heal our nation. This is great news. So let's do it according to the scripture. All right? So the first thing we're going to do is humble ourselves. And, what's wrong with this here? If we're not going to, I don't know how you humble yourself, but do it. If you kneel and you can, kneel. If you think you'll have trouble getting up, I understand, okay? If you want to just bow your head, but do something with your body that says, you are God and I am not. And I really, really need you, Lord. Begin to humble yourselves. That's it. Come to the altar. You can do however you want to do, whatever speaks to you, because that will speak to God. Lay prostrate if you want. I don't care. You go ahead and pray and humble yourself. And I'm going to begin. And if anyone wants to cry out their humility to the Lord, you can do that too. I'm going to pray what Daniel prayed. That's how I'm going to pray over us as we humble ourselves. There was probably not a more righteous Old Testament saint than Daniel, and yet he interceded for his nation by identifying with their sins. Lord, I thank you that we can do this too. Daniel said in chapter 9 that he set his face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And he prayed to the Lord and made confession. And I'm going to do this, and you do it in your own way. Oh, Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have sinned and committed iniquity. And Father, I stand before you as one of the hippie generation, one of the peace flower children who rebelled against you with sex, drug, and rock and roll, and anti-disestablishmentarianism, and opened a door wide to perversion. Father, in my generation, we took birth control and sinned with impunity. And we have opened the door to filth, perversion, unholiness, and the desecration of the solemnity of marriage. Father, we have done this. Lord, my generation did this. Lord, I have done this. Lord, we are part of a nation. We are coming on behalf of a nation who has sinned. Lord, we are coming on behalf of a nation who has opened the door to all manner of aberrant sexual relationship. We have opened the door to everything, to LGBTQRSDUV, the whole thing, Lord. We have done this. We have done this. We are guilty. Father, we have opened the door to infanticide. We have opened the door wide in my generation. Oh, God, forgive us for what we have handed our children and grandchildren. We have done this, and we deserve whatever you mete out because of our sin. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against you. And Father, shame of face belongs to your people, we your people, because we have not been effective as watchmen on the walls. We have not been effective in guarding our country. We have not been effective as being the pillar of virtue you have called us to. We have not been effective, Lord God, in stemming the tide of iniquity and turning it back from the gates. Forgive us, Father, for our silence for so many years, as so many were slaughtered and so many were deceived. And the family is bleeding and gushing. Forgive us, Father, forgive us. We were wrong, wrong, wrong. To us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. But to the Lord belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. And Father, we just humble ourselves before you. We're going to fall on the rock, Lord. I don't want it to fall on us. We're going to acknowledge you as God Almighty. And we're going to just fall on your mercy here tonight, Lord, on behalf of our nation and its families and its marriages. If anyone else wants to pray out anything in this part of humbling ourselves before God, feel free. The next part we're going to do is to pray. Now that we've humbled ourselves, we're in a pretty good place to ask. I want you to ask. Cry out to God and seek his face. We need mercy in time of trouble, and we can come boldly to him for that. Tell him how much we need him. Seek his face and pray. Pray and seek his face. Pray. Pray for what we need. You can join with another. You can pray by yourself. But pray out loud and ask. The door is open. We've met the first criteria. His ear is inclined to our prayers. Thank you, Jesus. thanks to the blood of Jesus, we can come to Him. Lord, we need You, we need You, we need You. Can you lift up your voice to Him? He wants to hear from you, not just me. Ask Him for whatever you need. The door's open. You want kids to be free from drugs and opioid addictions. You want moms and dads to love each other and not be selfish. What do you want? You want divorce to stop? I do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're to seek His face. Not just His hand, but His face, so He can guide us with His eye. Lord, I pray Your face would turn to us and bless us. Thank You. Thank You, God, for having mercy on us. Finally, the last step of the four is when we see His face. Very often when I see His face, I'm convicted if something needs to change. Something He might not be smiling about when He looks down on me. Ask Him. Open your heart. Open your heart. And let Him deal with you. Just in the privacy of your own prayer, it's fine, however you want to do it. But that's the fourth step, to turn from our wicked ways as the church. Lord, I pray we would turn from our prayerlessness and our compromise and lukewarmness and every other thing that may be sins of omission more than commission, that we might raise up and be the army of God in this hour to fight this battle, to win this battle, that we might stop the bleeding and get the healing from Your hand, Lord. Thank You, Lord God. There's one more thing that He told me to do tonight. And it's kind of a reward, I think, is coming. I really have been sensing lately that we are coming into a season where prodigals are going to return. If you have a prodigal in your family, stand up, because I'm going to pray. Stand up. If you have a prodigal son, daughter, mother, father, husband, wife, parent, anything. Lord, I pray that You reward Your people with a return of the prodigals, that they would come to the end of themselves and come to their senses and return, that You would bless the prayers of every one of these who has a prodigal in their heart. Lord, I am excited to hear what is going to happen as You restore families by returning prodigals, as You restore churches by returning prodigals. In Jesus' name, amen.
Can you give us just about 7 more minutes? We're going to enjoy communion together. If that's all right with y'all. If my pastors, ministers, as we talked about, just head to the kitchen and get that stuff ready and come on out when y'all are ready. And let me just say a word about the Lord's Supper, communion, whatever your background is. I believe in open communion. You don't need to be a member of my church, our church. Main thing is that you're a child of God, and that you love the Lord, and that she's already led us in prayers of repentance. So I'm assuming you've gotten all your sins right with the Lord tonight. And so the scripture says we're to remember his death. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't even tell us to remember his birth. He says remember his death. And then look forward to that day when he will eat and drink that supper again with us anew in his kingdom. And so what we're doing here, we're going to ask four teams of two. We've got bread and we've got juice. And when you're ready, we're just going to ask you to slip up out of your seat and just come and take some of the bread and then dip it in the juice and partake of it. I want to pray for us before you do that. But just when you get ready, you just go to whichever team of ministers that are here. And let's partake. You know, and this is also a sign of unity, is it not? I'm just so thankful. I want to say a special word. I know how busy our mayors and their first ladies are. And we thank God that y'all chose to give us an evening together with you. We love you. And then what an honor to sit down at the Lord's table together. Amen. Father, thank you for this evening of prayer. Thank you for this wonderful time together where the family of God could come together. Lord, it'd be a sweet thing to make every day the National Day of Prayer. And Lord, as we think about your sacrifice and how you left heaven and came to this old sin-cursed planet and paid the price for our sin, became the sacrifice, the payment for all our sin, and then got up from the grave, defeating death, hell, and the grave 3 days later. And Lord, we know you're alive tonight, and soon and very soon, you are coming to get your church. And so shall we be with you forever. Thank you, Lord, for this time of communion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You partake. Take, eat, drink. Philip, it said, the scripture says that as they went out, they sang a song. Come lead us in a song and then we'll head home.